We didn't call for you. Like, you're like hundreds of miles away and you still find yourself in our area to affect our allergies. It's like, you're on my list. You are on my list, Ragweed, for sure.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Oh My Allergies podcast. This is your hostess with the mostest, Valencia. And if you are new here, the Oh My Allergies podcast is a podcast about all things allergies. Whether you have food allergies, seasonal allergies, skin allergies, or even your pet has allergies, Oh My Allergies is a safe space for discussions for those that need a bit of advice and support from someone who understands their struggle. Let's learn how to navigate life and learn how to thrive with our allergies together.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to the Oh My Allergies podcast, or welcome to the Oh My Allergies podcast. If you're new, I am Valencia. Nice to meet you. And if you're not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you're subscribed on your podcast platform of choice. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, just pretty much any platform you can download and listen to your podcast on. Make sure you stop, drop, roll, and rate the podcast. Hopefully your rating is 5 stars. And also leave the show a review, because it really helps with being able to grow our Oh My Allergies fam and community. Follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram is at Oh My Allergies. Follow me on Instagram. Instagram is at Oh My Valencia. And just keep on sharing the pod with people you know or people you may not know. Now, today, I'm going to be talking all about the worst cities to live in 2023 if you have allergies, specifically environmental allergies and seasonal allergies. I thought it would be really interesting to talk about this, as I've been seeing pollen sticking to pretty much everything in sight, and I'm just having the urge to buy like all of this allergy medicine in the world to just be able to survive and thrive through, you know, the seasonal allergies time period, and just having to keep up with like the pollen count emails I received for the pollen count in my area. If you're relatively new to the allergy world, or maybe you're just not, and this could just be new to you, but every year there's like a list that is put together each year by the Asthma and Allergy Foundation for the worst cities to live in if you have allergies. And what's interesting is that the list of cities change from year to year. In some cities, it might be like, whoa, like I didn't expect for them to be on the list. Or some cities, they might not be as surprising. So you never really know what to expect when you look at this report and see the list. There's also a separate list for the best cities to live in if you have allergies, which I plan on doing an episode on as well. But I just think it's really interesting that, you know, I'll now get into it more so in the episode on what goes into deciding what cities are going to be going on each list each year. So that's what I'm going to be talking about in today's episode, with spring literally being around the corner, or for some of us, if we look outside our windows, it pretty much looks like spring is here. But before I get into all that jazz, I'm going to talk about what's been going on with me. So as you guys know, I have really been in my fitness era, and I've just been doing Pilates each week for almost the past month. Each time I go, my hips are always like 0.5 seconds away from giving out, but then later on in that week, they are literally thanking me for pushing them to be able to gain more flexibility and strength with them. I've just noticed a bit of change in my back where I don't like really complain as much from doing Pilates, so I am excited about it. I'm excited for this new hobby. It's been a minute since I've had a hobby that I'm excited about, and I'm really excited to amp up how many times I go starting next month. But in addition to Pilates, I've been still going to softball games, also watching softball games on television. There were a really good amount of series that happened this past weekend. I know Alabama was playing against Arkansas, so saw some of those games. Also saw a game with Clemson versus University of Virginia, so the Virginia Cavaliers. There was just a lot of different games that were going on this weekend that were like so good to watch, and like really, really, really like good games, like games that go extra innings, like 10 innings. Like, it's just like, what? Like, what is going on? And that's like one of my favorite parts of softball, is like just how energizing it is and how like there's just so many things going on, and like these girls are make like really good plays, and you know, being able to steal home runs from other teams, it's just so cool. And like, if you know softball, like, you know, or even baseball, like, you get really into it, or whatever sport is your jam. So I've been really into softball lately. Also, I recently saw a college lacrosse game, which was kind of cool, not gonna lie. The whole sport of lacrosse, it kind of just worries me. When I was in college, I had the opportunity to actually play lacrosse, but was just not really into the idea of me like running while like cradling a lacrosse ball with a lacrosse stick thing while like other people are trying to knock the ball out of my hand. It's just too much going on all at once, and like your hand-eye coordination game needs to be strong, okay, for lacrosse. But other than that, things have been okay. I've been dealing with a little bit of stress-ish things. I feel like that's a tongue twister, like stress-ish, like black-ish stress-ish things at work, and it's kind of been affecting my sleep. I know stress is definitely not good for your sleep or just for your overall health in general, so I've been working on things to be able to incorporate more throughout my day to be able to minimize my stress. Like I always talk about on the podcast, meditations are one of my go-tos and they're really great, but I have found more recently that I need to do more than just that, so I've been actively working on other things to incorporate. And also more recently, I got hurt. I ended up tripping and literally getting a gash in my knee. It actually happened the day that I'm recording this episode, so it's just not really been that great for me. And I think with that, in combination with the pain that I'm feeling with moving my body in different ways from Pilates, it's just kind of like pain on pain, and it's just kind of like, oh my goodness, like worse timing. But yeah, those are some things that have been going on with me, and so I can get right into my foodie likes. So the foodie like I want to talk to you guys about is from Trader Joe's. And if you thought it was a beverage, you are correct. And if you thought it was a sparkling beverage, then you get brownie points. But today's a foodie like, it's from Trader Joe's. It's their organic sparkling green tea beverage. Really been liking these a lot lately. They're just really just light and refreshing, and they just taste really, really good when they're cold. From my understanding, there's just only one flavor for the sparkling green tea. There's also a sparkling like yerba mate tea that they have. I've had both. Really prefer the green tea, obviously, because the caffeine in the green tea is a lot lower than in yerba mate, at least from my knowledge. And you guys know I am in my decaf/low caffeinated era, so all about the things that are going to keep that caffeine level a little bit lower, but then also being able to have it in little nuggets. But really have been liking this green tea because it has like a minty grapefruit hibiscus type of flavor to it, and it's just really good. I feel like it's going to be one of my go-to drinks during the summertime and into the spring, so really have been liking it. I also like the fact that it is unsweetened, the one that I get, but I know based off of taking a look at the Trader Joe's website, they do have some options where they are lightly sweetened. Lightly sweetened is not really my jam, just because what I think is lightly sweetened is not lightly sweetened to somebody else. It's probably just like unsweet. So I just tend to get like unsweetened tea, especially because it's like more so of like a foundation, like you're able to get like a base level, and then you can kind of dress it up however you want when you get like an unsweetened, versus if you get like something lightly sweetened and it's a lot more sweet than you thought it was going to be, then you're kind of like stuck with it. So I prefer unsweetened, highly recommend. It has like a little fizz to it, so it's really good if you're trying to move away from like the high sugary like sodas and you're trying to incorporate things that are close to it, but are a lot more healthier. So highly recommend trying out this tea. But that is my main foodie. Like, it is just this drink. It's been really good and really tasty. And with that being said, let's get right into the allergy news. So this week's allergy news article is titled "Allergy Season is Earlier, Longer, and Worse in These U.S. Cities," report finds. I thought this would be really fitting considering what today's episode is about, which is all about the worst cities to live in if you have allergies. So in this article, they talk about how there is a new report that has come out around seasonal allergies, finding that the growing season has lengthened by more than 2 weeks on average, and how a longer growing season, which I'm assuming they're talking about for pollen, means that there's going to be more days ahead for sneezing and headaches for those of us who have seasonal allergies. They talk about how not only is allergy season found to be getting longer, but it's also becoming more intense. And it's pretty much because warming temperatures have really just shortened the length of deep freeze winters, and therefore is extending the length of seasons where those allergen producing plants are able to live and thrive. And so in this report, there were 203 cities that were analyzed, and about 85% of them saw freeze-free seasons grow longer, and a lot of them by more than a month. And the cities where allergy season has grown the most since 1970 are the cities that they're highlighting in this particular article. So in terms of the top five, number one is Reno, Nevada, with 99 days longer. Number two is Bend, Oregon, with 83 days longer. Number three is Las Cruces, New Mexico. Sorry if I butchered that, but that is 72 days longer. Medford, Oregon, is 63 days longer. And Boise, Idaho is 52 days longer. So they highlight the top 15 within this article, but it's just really interesting how you're starting to see more and more and more articles coming out talking about allergy season and how it's not just getting longer, but it's becoming more and more intense. And I feel like for those of us, especially myself, as I like reflect on my allergy symptoms lately and how they've been affecting me, how they've been affecting my dog, like I've been feeling like they're a lot more intense, and that it's just not like allergy season is coming quicker and is extended, but it just, the symptoms, they just feel like they're just attacking my immune system a lot harder and more intense than in past years. And so it's really like validating to know, like, it's not just me, like I'm not crazy, like this is affecting millions and millions and millions of people. I think around 50 million Americans deal with seasonal allergies and like hay fever and things like that. So it's just reassuring to know that it's not just in your head, and there is a reason why all of these things are happening. So if you want to learn more about this week's allergy news article, it'll be linked in our show notes. Like I always say, I don't go over every nook and cranny is the saying. I don't go over every nook and cranny of every article, just kind of pull out some highlights to be able to talk about on the podcast here and just kind of start a conversation. But if you want to see the article in its full entirety, you can check out our show notes for more. But with that being said, let's get right into this week's topic, which is all about the worst cities to live in if you have seasonal allergies in the U.S. So with spring comes spring allergy season, which means you're going to be hearing a lot more people sniffing and sneezing and headaches and all of these other symptoms that are usually associated with seasonal allergies. And I know we've done a few episodes on how there are a lot of factors to really take into consideration when it comes to making your allergy symptoms worse or more intense. But have you ever really thought that the location in which you live can actually play such a huge role in how badly your allergy symptoms affect you? Well, allergies can be more severe in some areas of the United States in specific than in others. And there's actually a report that puts together each year by the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America. It's called Allergy Capitals, and the report really goes into how challenging it is to live with seasonal allergies in the top 100 U.S. cities. So according to this year's Allergy Capitals report, so the year 2023 from the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, a lot of the most challenging cities to live in for those who have seasonal allergies are either on the East Coast, in the Southeast, and in the Midwest. Now, one thing to point out that I found would be really interesting to share with you all is that even though some cities are noted as being like the best for people with allergies, can actually be the worst. And I know you're probably thinking that doesn't make any sense, so please explain. So the 2023 Allergy Capitals report doesn't just rely on data about local pollen levels when making these lists for, you know, the worst cities. And so the report, it also takes into consideration allergy medication usage and the availability of board certified allergy specialists, so allergists that are nearby those areas, to rank the 100 most populated cities in the US. So even though a city may have a lot of pollen, the ranking of that city may be offset by how many allergists are available in that particular area to help the people of that area with managing their symptoms and providing allergy care. So whether that is putting together a treatment plan that involves allergy drops, allergy shots, antihistamines, etc., but you're able to get that formalized packaged allergy care from local allergists to you in that area. So the report, it looks at a lot of different factors, like I said. So it looks at tree, grass, and weed pollen scores. It looks at over-the-counter allergy medicine use. And then, like I said, that availability of board-certified allergists as well as immunologists. And we've already talked about in previous episodes how allergy seasons are getting longer and they're getting more severe due to, you know, warmer temperatures and things that are happening with the climate. And as we head into warmer weather and the grass is not dormant and it's starting to grow again, you know, the grass, you know, and trees, they're going to be producing pollen with that, and the pollen is carried in the wind, and so it's making the winter time more milder, which is leaving plants with longer growing seasons and more pollen in the world. And this is making it really tough for those of us who have pollen allergies, especially those of us who have asthma that gets triggered by allergies. And so the report, they have a list of the most challenging cities for people with allergens. So in this episode, I'm pretty much just going to break down each city and kind of talk you all through them. So the number one most challenging city for people with allergies is, drumroll, Wichita, Kansas. I know the first time I saw Wichita, I literally wanted to say Wichita, but at times I find myself trying to catch myself to not say Wichita, but I know it is Wichita, Kansas. So rankings wise for Wichita, Kansas, overall, their ranking was worse than average. When it comes to the subtotal for all pollen, it was ranked as worse than average. For the subtotal for medicine use, it was ranked as worse than average. And for the subtotal for specialists, so we're talking about your allergist, your immunologist within the area, that was also ranked as worse than average. But in Wichita, Kansas, they say the leading offender for allergies within that area is tree pollen. And so when it comes to trees, a lot of allergists within the area have noticed that elm, maple, and even cedar trees are some that could be causing reactions. And another allergy trigger in that area is also mold, specifically cladosporium mold, which grows in more wet or damp places and oftentimes indoors, and can actually cause dry skin, sneezing, stuffy nose, coughing, and more. Another common allergy trigger for Wichita, Kansas is called botrytis, and it is a gray mold that can actually cause allergic reactions. But one thing that I found was very interesting despite all of this is that Wichita is known as the air capital of the world because it's known for its solid marks when it comes to air quality and when it comes to, you know, pollution. And so this really just goes to show that there's a lot more to take into consideration regarding allergies besides just air quality and air pollution, even though those things are really important as well. Another thing that I found out while I was doing my research for this episode is that apparently Wichita has an annual tree festival that is held in like late March or early April. And this festival, it offers tours of more than like 300 trees and tree plantings, which is not my idea of a good time. As a person with seasonal allergies, you know, my nose, I just had a talk with it. It said it's a no for me. My skin said it's a no for me. So these are some things to just kind of keep into consideration. And I guess that's what went into just partially. Obviously, I don't have the full picture because I am not the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, but these are just some things based off of researching the city of Wichita of what goes into why this could have possibly been the number one on the list for the most challenging cities for people with allergies. So the number two most challenging city for people with allergies in the United States is Dallas, Texas. Now, rankings-wise for the city of Dallas, overall, it was ranked worse than average. For subtotal for all pollen, it was ranked as worse than average. And subtotal for medicine use, it was also ranked as worse than average for the city of Dallas. One of the reasons why allergies are just so bad in like Texas in general is the heat. But it's not those like blistering summer days that are really the things that you would be blaming allergies and why they're so bad in Texas. I don't know why I said Texas. I meant Texas. Oh my goodness, words. They're not coming to me today. But rather, it's because of Texas's relatively mild winters. They create like this, quote, perfect environment for year-round allergies. So Texas's mild winters allow for year-round plant growth. So that means that plants can pollinate throughout the year. And while other parts of the United States may be experiencing like colder temperatures that are turning, you know, vegetation and grass and things like that more dormant, there are going to be some plants in Texas that are undergoing another season of pollination. So actually, it seems like winter is actually one of the worst times of the year for allergies in Texas. And from doing more research, it seems like, you know, they are just really bad in the springtime as well, but they aren't that much worse than they are in the fall. But I just think it's so interesting how for Texas, how in a lot of parts of the country, the allergy season is typically just limited to the spring. And, you know, when pollinating plants release their microscopic pollen dust that is irritating our sinuses, making our eyes watery, making them red, you know, but once the spring turns to summer, you know, the pollination season is over and like the allergens are just pretty much kind of going away and are like largely disappearing. But that is not the case in Texas. And it seems like as I get more into this list, that's just not the case for a lot of the Southeast. But number three on this list is Scranton, Pennsylvania. Overall, Scranton, Pennsylvania ranked as worse than average. For subtotal for all pollen, ranked as average. And then for subtotal for medicine usage in the area, it ranked as worse than average. Scranton, it tends to have higher than average pollen levels compared to a lot of different American cities. Birch trees is a leading cause of allergies. They tend to grow well in Scranton's and coal banks. And so by April, ragweed and tree pollen are particularly high in that area. So it's making the sneeze season a lot longer and more intense as the tree and grass pollen seasons tend to overlap in that area. So number four is Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I am not a big fan of the Sooners, so I am not a Boomer Sooner. I just really, they just annoy me in the sake of softball. I just don't really like how cocky they come across, but that is a different argument for a different day. We're talking about allergies, but every time I think of Oklahoma, I think of the Oklahoma Sooners, and then I start thinking about softball, and then I start thinking about how annoying they are. So you can come at me if you want to. I know Boomer Nation is big. It is live and well, but I just can't get on the bandwagon when it comes to the Oklahoma Sooners. But anyway, back to pollen. From a rankings perspective for Oklahoma City, Oklahoma pretty much ranked worse than average in every category, from overall to all pollen subtotal, as well as medicine subtotal for medicine use. So by early April in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the tree pollen levels are often already in the very high range, and it actually gets to a point where healthcare providers are prompted to issue alerts to patients with seasonal allergies. And so these alerts really provide guidance and advice to people who have allergies to stay indoors as much as possible, especially if they have a pollen sensitivity or allergic bronchial asthma, which is that asthma that's induced by allergies. When it comes to what is responsible for the most pollen production in Oklahoma City in the spring, it tends to be mulberry, oak, and sycamore trees. So on the same track of Oklahoma, there's another city in Oklahoma that made this list as well, and that is Tulsa. Tulsa also ranked worse than average in every category, from overall, from the subtotal all pollen standpoint, as well as the subtotal medicine use standpoint as well. So for Tulsa in specific, based on research, it seemed like there's just more pollen in the area, especially when you mix in thunderstorms that hit Tulsa, that just kind of kicks up pollen in the air. And just ultimately, this is going to cause a lot more allergic symptoms and more asthmatic attacks for those who deal with allergies. So it's just, it's already not that great of an environment because of pollen counts just being really high during the spring, but when you mix that, you mix that with the thunderstorms, the wind loves the pollen, so it's just, the pollen will be up to something for sure for the people of Tulsa. So that's definitely something to keep a watch out for if you live in Tulsa, or if you just live in Oklahoma in general, because I know Oklahoma is known for their thunderstorms. I believe there's a basketball team, Oklahoma City Thunder, so there's a reason why they have that name, obviously. So I just think that's really interesting how that plays a role in how allergies can affect people who have seasonal allergies. But it's definitely, it makes sense, but it's just something that maybe not a lot of people will think about. So the next state I'm going to be talking about is Florida. And actually Florida, they had a few different cities on this list. So there's Sarasota, Florida, Cape Coral, and Orlando, Florida. So Sarasota and Cape Coral, Florida were both ranked as worse than average from an overall perspective, subtotal for all pollen, as well as subtotal for medicine use. But the interesting thing is that when it came to Orlando, Florida is ranked as worse than average for overall, but for a subtotal for all pollen, it was ranked as average. And then the subtotal for medicine use was ranked as worse than average. And according to the AAFA, the warmer temperatures get trapped in urban areas, which is why southeastern U.S. cities like Sarasota and Cape Coral tend to see a lot of major health impacts from pollen season. Even though Sarasota, they're known for falling in the top 50 on the AAFA's list for cities with high pollen counts and allergy medicine use, its location on the Gulf Coast contributes to clear air. And so it's so interesting that even though a city like Sarasota is known for having clean air, they are still, you know, on the list for being a city with high pollen counts and high usage of allergy medicine. So it really just goes to show, just because you have clean air doesn't mean that pollen is not still affecting that air and therefore is affecting people who deal with allergies. It seems like one of the pollens that really tends to affect people the most in the state of Florida is ragweed. And that's because ragweed, it can be carried by the wind hundreds of miles. So even, you know, if ragweed's not blooming in your area, but it's blooming somewhere downwind from you, then it could come into your area still. And it just makes me think that daggone ragweed, that annoying ragweed pollen, like, we didn't call for you. Like, you're like hundreds of miles away and you still find yourself in our area to affect our allergies. It's like, you're on my list. You are on my list, ragweed, for sure. And then the next city on the list, I forget what number I'm on, but the next city on the list is Des Moines, Iowa. So in terms of how Des Moines falls on this scale of rankings for the most challenging cities for people who have seasonal allergies in the United States, Des Moines is ranked as worse than average overall, but from an all pollen and medicine use standpoint, it ranks as average. And when I did some research on Des Moines, I saw a lot about how allergists tend to see allergy patients year round, but how spring and fall are definitely the worst times for allergies in Iowa. A lot of people think this is because Iowa is a lot more of a farming and an agricultural state. So you do see more allergies in the state of Iowa and just more of an awareness of allergies in the state of Iowa. And another thing that I found out from doing a little bit more research is since 1970, the average number of consecutive days above freezing every year in Des Moines has climbed by 19, from an average of 170 days in 1970 to around 190 days in 2021. And so spring-like temperatures, with them beginning earlier in the year, and like the summer-like temperatures lingering later in the year, this is really meaning that the time between the last spring freeze and the first fall freeze is getting longer. And so even though this may be good for people who are like farmers, and like if your state is really known for agriculture, it can have an adverse effect on your environment as well. And one of those consequences is there be an increase in pollen and an increase in pest. And I am not a big fan of pests, and I am not a big fan of pollen. And I think it's so funny how both of them start with the P. So it's like the two P's. I am not a fan of the two P's. And according to Climate Central, that the growing season isn't the only contributing factor to allergy seasons being longer. Another thing that's really good to note and keep in mind is carbon dioxide. Higher carbon dioxide levels being in the atmosphere also play a big role in longer allergy seasons, and having those higher levels can boost up plant growth, and that leads to more pollen production in grasses and in ragweed. So it's just really interesting how there's so many different contributing factors to longer allergy seasons, which is impacting how intense our allergy symptoms might be, which is going to impact people who have seasonal allergies. And like, if you're feeling like, oh my goodness, like, why am I sneezing in February? Or like, why am I sneezing in March? These are all things that are really playing a role in why that might be things that you are experiencing. And so another thing that I thought was interesting from doing research was that there was research that showed that high rates of carbon dioxide emissions could lead to as much as a 200% increase in pollen production by the end of the century in the U.S. 200% increase. That's a lot. That is a lot. And so it's kind of like when you think about things like that, you're just like, well, no wonder allergy season is more intense. Like the dots are being drawn and connected together in my mind. And I'm like that meme of that guy that points to his head. It's like, aha, I get it. It's clicking. It's clicking in my brain now. And so the last city that was on this list, well, it's not the last city on the list because the list is the top 100 U.S. cities. It's more so the last city that I'm going to be talking about in today's episode. I'm just going to be talking about the top 10 most challenging cities. And so this is the 10th one. I actually was able to do some mental math in my head because I kind of lost track with, you know, the amount of cities that I was going through. And like, I feel like it's kind of annoying when you're like number one, number two, number three. And so I was trying not to get consumed with that, but then that made me lose track. And so then I was like, where am I? What am I doing? What number am I on? But I digress. But the last city that I'm going to be talking about in this episode is Greenville, South Carolina. Greenville is ranked as worse than average overall, but then when it comes to all pollen subtotal, it is ranked as being average. And then when it comes to medicine use subtotal, it comes out to being worse than average, which is really interesting how, you know, the pollen might not be as high as like a worse than average. It might just be on an average standpoint. But then when it comes to the usage of medicine, when it comes to the usage and availability of those allergists and immunologists I mentioned earlier, it might be more so on the worse than average standpoint, which is just really interesting. And it goes to show how there might be some gaps within, you know, allergies from a standpoint of there being resources available for those who are dealing with allergy symptoms in their area. In Greenville, it earned a top spot on the list after it was ranked high for grass and weed pollen counts. It also scored worse than average in the medication category, according to the results from the Allergy Capitals report. But the Greenville area isn't the only place where the people of South Carolina with allergies might experience discomfort. Another city that landed on that list was Columbia. Another city that also landed on the list was Charleston. Columbia landed at number 33. Charleston landed at number 51 on the national list, and they both earned like quote like average scores. Another thing to take into consideration is that rain and warm weather increases pollination levels, and those are the different types of, you know, weather conditions that really affect South Carolina. And so those are really things that really are gonna make the allergy symptoms that you experience and the intensity of them a lot more exacerbated and worse. The top pollen allergies in the Greenville area in specific are maple, juniper, and ash. And so one thing that, as I reflect on this entire list of, I believe, like probably like the top like 10 cities that are known as being the most challenging cities for people with allergies to live in the United States, is that the whole Southeast is just like a hotbed for allergic rhinitis. Like, seriously, there are so many cities that are on this list that are not only, you know, in the South generally, but in the Southeast. And there are a lot of different cities that are going to be affecting both people with asthma, allergic rhinitis, allergic conjunctivitis, and allergic rhinitis. So it's just really interesting to see this report and its findings and ranking these cities based on, you know, the different types of pollen, allergy medicine use, the availability of board certified allergists and immunologists. It's just really interesting to see what goes into this list, and also like what is the cause behind some of the top pollen allergen triggers in those different areas, because they're not always the same. As you can see, like for a city like Scranton, Pennsylvania, birch trees is a leading cause for allergies in those areas, whereas, you know, somewhere like Florida, the top allergens that might be affecting people with allergies there might be ragweed. So it's just really interesting to know the different types of pollen in each area and how they can be affecting you and your immune system in so many different ways. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and found it to be really helpful, educational, kind of interesting. I always tend to look at these lists, but this is my first time actually covering it on the podcast, and I kind of actually like enjoyed it and was able to find out so much more about different states and cities within the US. So like I said earlier in this episode, this just covered a lot of the most challenging cities to live in for those who have seasonal allergies in the United States. If you guys would like me to do this, but for some other areas of, you know, the world, then definitely send us over a note on the Oh My Allergies Instagram page. Our Instagram is at Oh My Allergies. But if you guys enjoyed this episode, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast on your podcast platform of choice. Like I said earlier, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon, Audible, just so many places. So there is no excuse for you not to subscribe. Also, make sure you take the time to leave a rating and a review. Hopefully your rating is 5 stars. You can follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram is at @OhMyAllergies. My Instagram is at @OhMyValencia. Keep on sharing the podcast with people you know and don't know, and I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Bye, guys.